thought we could talk about today is our Wild Wednesday topic.
Oh, what is it?
Embarrassing SEX moments.
I feel like we've covered that on the
podcast
jalapenos episode.
Oh yeah, that wasn't really embarrassing. That was kind of like yeah, that was kind of like
Speak for yourself.
I feel like we've had other embarrassing moments. Can I read you something from the community?
Yeah.
A live reaction. First time having SEX postpartum, was feeling great and confident. We had a great time right after. My husband said, just so you know, it feels the same. Clearly, I wasn't thinking about that at all, but he was evidently pretty worried about it. Is that something that you ever worried about after babies? Like, is it going to feel the same down there?
No.
Did it feel the same?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of all feels the same, right?
I don't know.
I think it feels the same.
That's not a good reaction. You're just saying it feels fucking amazing.
No, I mean, it does.
You have a vagina, a golden vagina.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's, I don't know. I have to get maybe ask the guys in there. I mean, I've
never. Every vagina feels the same. Does every vagina feel the same? Because every dick doesn't.
Well, sure, because.
Yours feels the best.
Oh, thanks.
Fits like a glove.
Does it?
Little puzzle piece.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, but it's like your feelings are different, right? I feel like, I don't know if it feels like that. I think it's an emotional thing, but physically, like, I can't. Like, I don't know. Is there that much of a standard deviation between vagina sizes? Like, there probably is.
A tightness, I would think, for sure, depending on their pelvic floor. Yeah, I mean, if their pelvic floor is super weak and not really engaging. You know, yeah. When I, like, hug your peen, you know, when I, like, really do a little pelvic floor contraction or, like, give it a nice little squeeze?
No. Oh. I mean, to be honest, I'm just trying to focus on not, like, finishing the whole time. It's like, I'm not, like. Which I think is also another myth, right? Which I think is also another myth. Like, these, when you have sex for a long time, like, point to me one other species walking this, of the millions of species walking the planet that have sex.
Yeah, guys go for like 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like, it's the whole thing is like, people are like,
how long can you really go? Unless you're taking something to make you, or you, like, you know,
yeah, I mean,
pumped and dumped, and then you're doing it for the second time, maybe?
Yeah.
Can guys even do that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Pre and post pregnancy? Definitely no. I mean, depending, like, if your pelvic floor is in pretty good shape, then yeah, it will feel the same. But, like, a lot of women have a lot of pain with sex post pregnancy because they're either guarding, you know, down there, and they're hypertonic, which is mean your pelvic floor is, like, too tight, then it can result in, like, some pain.
Yeah.
And C-section moms also can have some pain because of scar tissue buildup and adhesions that are in that area. That just need to be, like, worked out. So pain with sex is actually super common post-pregnancy.
I feel like it was a lot with Leo. I think one time I told you
with
it
was with
Kenzie.
I was what? Wait.
Yeah, it was like trying to have sex with a fork. It was like your legs, like, were kept, like, pointed out like this, and I couldn't, like, get in. You remember that?
Okay, let me explain to everyone. You're gonna bring up my dirty laundry.
This is what you asked. All right, fine.
After Kenzie was born, I definitely was hypertonic, and I was, like, trying to work on that. Hypertonic just means my pelvic floor was really tight, and I had a lot of adhesions from the C-section, and I had a lot of birth trauma. So I was, like, guarded down there when we started having intimacy again after my first baby, trying to work on my pelvic floor, work on the adhesions. So in the meantime, when we were like I was working through that and we were still having like intimacy, I was very stiff in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. Like, my legs would just go like a dead dog.
Like a starfish. Trying to make love with a starfish.
Just like a dead dog. My legs are just
dead
stay
dog.
Straight. You know how a dead dog, you can, like, they're like so stiff, you can just like move them. Am I thinking about that right?
A dog?
Like, in a movie, you ever seen, like, a dog that's, like, dead and it's, like, so stiff and it's, like, a cardboard and they, like, move it from side to side? No?
Like you know, a taxidermy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Taxidermy.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Taxidermy.
I'm from Baltimore. We don't speak English there.
Taxidermy.
Taxidermy.
Like, it's stuffed. Like a stuffed, like you killed
yes, it's stuffed.
Like a
that's
elk
what I meant.
And put
sorry
it on the wall. Okay.
That's what I meant.
All right. I was confused.
Same,
like
same.
A dead dog.
Same.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what I felt like.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't tried to make love to a stuffed animal, but I'm sure if I did, it might feel
well
similar.
Some of the men out there probably have, so yeah, they can probably relate. No, I'm just kidding.
Each their own.
So, okay, this is a different one that I thought was pretty funny. Okay, they were having sex for the first time. Having sex for the first time, it was really embarrassing. I couldn't hold it in. I farted on my husband during. And every time I would orgasm postpartum, since I was nursing, milk would start spraying everywhere. At first, I was embarrassed, but then it was just hilarious, and my husband would be covered in milk every time.
That's funny.
I have never ejaculated milk.
Is that the word? Ejaculated milk? Yeah, that's wild.
What would you do if milk started squirting at you, like streams? You would not. I asked Max to take a shot of my breast milk. He said no, you guys. Has your husband drank your breast milk? Just taste, a little taste.
I think that might help me get out of my, whatever, my cough and my...
It's very healing.
It is, yeah.
Put that shit on everything.
Yeah, I'll mix some.
It's like Frank's Red hot sauce or whatever. Yeah. Put that shit on everything. Makes it better. Another one who I never realized how hairy my butthole was until my husband and I got married. Now thinking back to all the relationships and hookups I had back in the day, just realizing they probably got the worst visual experience ever. Mortifying. Do I have a hairy butthole?
Whoa, no. Do you shave it, though?
I give it a swipe once in a while.
Oh, that's weird. I feel like girls don't have hairy BHs. That would be pretty gross. That would be really
don't
gross.
Listen to him. It's fine. No one matters. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because, like, you don't see my BH, but I see your BH
sometimes
all the time.
I
no, you don't. What? You don't. I would, like.
How do you see my BH all the time? Doggy style?
69.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
And that's... you're kind of, like, always spreading your cheeks. I mean, or something. Like, I mean, it's like, it's like, it'd be way, it's way more common for me to see your BH than you to see mine. Partially because
that's
you can't really
true.
See it. It's like a black hole down there. But, like. The opportunity would never present itself. Like, that's just gross for me. Like, I get gross for you thinking about, like,
so if I had a hairy butthole, you'd be grossed out.
Yeah, that would be weird. It's like, you should, like, yes, that is weird.
Mental note.
Yeah.
Wax butthole. No, just kidding. I don't really have that much hair down there. Okay, here's a couple. What?
I feel like buttholes is a weird word to say. You just call it like BH.
Bunghole.
Yeah, no, it's like, feels like BH. Very, it feels like a cuss word almost.
Like, my God, who know. Are you?
I don't know. It feels like very intrusive. Like BH is like, sounds mean so more like.
My favorite is like when my our boys call each other buttholes. They're like, shut up, butthole.
That's like a funny word.
Why are you calling him a butthole?
Yeah.
Like, where do you get that from? Oh, it's like an asshole for, like, a kid. Okay. I never put that together. Wow. Okay. That does make more sense. Why do we call people assholes then? That's weird. What else do people call buttholes? I don't know.
Balloon knots.
Balloon knots. Yeah.
Chocolate starfish.
Mine's pink. I got strawberry chocolate over here.
Oh, Jesus.
I got brown. Okay, here's a couple more that are just, like, funny. I mean, kind of funny, I think. Friends told us they used to take glow stick bracelets to play ring toss with his ding-a-ling to spice things up. He'd have to be – he couldn't be flaccid for that.
Obviously
what
not.
If I was just doing ring toss with – can you imagine? Well, what is he doing laying down on the bed with, like, rock hard and you're just playing ring toss? I feel like that's not sexy.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like you're pretty bored.
I always wanted to measure Max, and he's never let me measure it. Because I always think it's so big. I'm like, let me just measure it and see how big
I'll
it is.
I'll never forget.
Especially the girth. I'm like, let me measure the circumference of that thing. He'll never let me do it. He's got COVID. Don't
it,
worry.
I'll never forget. I'm recovering. Third time survivor. I'll never forget. We just started dating. And I think I don't know, research shows, but I think my dick gets smaller over time. I just think, okay.
You think that your dick has gotten smaller?
Oh, I think so, 100%. And you were making a comment, something, and like, you said something, you were like, oh yeah, Max has an 8-inch dick or something. And you were like talking to your friends.
It's probably
and
7
It
or
was like,
eight,
me and somebody else, like, we just like spit out our like.
Wait. You don't think it is?
No, it's not even close. Like, 8 inches is mad. Like, I think an average one is like 5. Like, it's like,
Well, yeah, maybe six.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with, like, how I was, you know. I'll never forget how I was showering with one of the coaches in high school, and he had a really small dick, and people kept, like, making fun of him, and not fucking. That sounded really bad. That sounded so bad.
Wait a
minute. No.
Pause.
It was that's
pause.
That's crazy.
Pause. That's crazy.
No. It wasn't. That sounded really bad. It's football. Yeah, everyone showers together. It's not like you're fucking, like, you have your own little private, like, thing. Everyone was showering after a game, and the coach is showering in there, and, like, he's got something. He's got a really small dick, and he's like, "Well, fuck, I'm gonna do lift and make it bigger." Like, it's like, it was like, I was like, that is such a great. That was such a great thing. Like, you can't control. Like, you know what I mean? You got small dick, big dick. You can't control it. So it's out of your control.
It's all what you do with it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Besides, a good tongue is what's most important.
Yeah, that's right. what was the topic? But sorry.
I was trying to measure your peen.
Oh, yeah. Because we were laughing so hard because, like, like, 8 inches is, like, that's it. That's massive. Like.
Hung.
Yeah, seriously. If you have an 8-inch, yeah, that's
impressive.
Yeah, you must have been popular in high school.
I don't know. It kind of hurts if it's that big. Like, on a body like me, you're up into my lungs. You know what I mean? Mic up.
Okay.
Just kidding. So many people farting. You little farters. What are you eating, you guys?
Wait, farting happens. It happens. We should embrace it. You farted in my face one time.
Because
blew
you
my
pulled,
hair back.
You,
it was like this.
You pulled my butt cheeks like apart.
my hair like was like blowing in the thing. Seriously. I didn't tell pull your
those.
Butt cheeks apart.
You spread my butt cheeks apart.
That is not how it happened. That is not how it happened at all. My hands weren't even on your butt cheeks.
That is
it was my hands were on your knees. Like,
yeah, you were spreading my legs apart.
Yeah, I wasn't spreading your butt. I wasn't like, oh, let me see what's going on there. I had your legs like that.
I warned you it was coming. Instead of giving me some space, he took me further.
I thought you were joking. I didn't know you were being serious.
Why would I joke about having to fart during intimacy? Like, do I think it's going to turn you on further?
I thought you were being goofy. Yeah, that was wild. Which is funny because Leo's farted in my face like that a couple of times. He's your son. He thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
Leo does think farting is really funny.
But you know what's funny? It's not just he thinks that's funny. Anytime something happens in your face, he thinks it's the funniest thing ever. Like once a week he'll be like, "Dad," because I brought him home like maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and I was getting him out of the van, and he sneezed in my mouth. And I was like, oh, God, that was so – it was so disgusting. You've never heard him laugh that hard. So, like, every once in a while, he'd be like, Dad, remember when I sneezed in your mouth? And he'll, like, start laughing so hard. I'm like, yeah, buddy, it's so funny. Like, hilarious.
That is funny. Lots of breast milk leaking all over your husband's. Wow, I've never had that happen. That's interesting. I mean, it makes sense, right, if you're, like, releasing hormones because you're – you know, having happy time, and then it also has a letdown at the same time. I don't know. There was a couple more I thought I wanted to do here. I got laughed at in lingerie because it didn't fit my personality. Well, aren't you just a boring little husband? Like, let her spice things up for a minute. Do you remember that time we first started dating and you came over to my house and I was full lingerie with high heels on? Did you like that? Haven't done it since. Need to do that again sometime. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I know I didn't like it. I think you probably got angry at me because I didn't.
I don't remember getting angry.
I don't know. I feel like that. I don't know.
Oh, this is funny. I was so backed up for a week. I was using stool softeners, and when I owed, it made a little poop come out. I'd be embarrassed even that happened with my husband, I think. I mean, I wouldn't be having SEX if I was constipated. That's for damn sure. So I probably wouldn't even put myself in that position. But
play with fire, you get burnt.
Being constipated is the worst thing ever. When I was constipated in pregnancy, I definitely wasn't having SEX.
But oh, yeah, that was wild.
Max was administering enemas. What are they called?
Enemas?
Enemas.
Yeah.
Into my
butthole.
Those
were wild, too.
I was, like, bent over, like, on the floor on all fours with my ass up in the air, big pregnant belly, and Max is shooting an enema in my butthole. And I'm like moaning out of like so much pain because there's so much pressure already from the baby. But then you add liquid in your butthole to try to get things moving, and it's like even more pressure. You feel like you're going to fucking explode.
And you're like laughing the whole time.
I was embarrassed.
Yeah, it's like funny. It's like embarrassing. So like,
it does work. It is effective. Yeah, for sure. But like, it's effective like immediately. And it was so painful that like, he had to like help me onto the toilet like immediately after. And then I was like holding his hand and like crying while I was like going, because it was like the most intense. It felt like labor contractions. Like, I'm not kidding. It was so intense. And then I was literally like holding his hand, just shitting my brains out. It was, smelled horrible. That was terrible. You must really love me. You must. That's what gave it away.
That's what gave it away?
Yeah. Got my period blood everywhere. Hey, it happens to everyone. That's fine.
Yeah.
Has a little extra flavor. I think they're all the good ones that I have. Is there any other stories that you want to tell about like past when you had an 8-incher? Before you before you shrunk.
Oh man.
Nothing you want to. Got a lot of good stories. Max isn't kiss and tell. So unless it's about me, I guess. He doesn't like to talk about exes because. Why don't you like to talk about exes?
I mean, there's not really much to talk about. First of all, I don't have a lot of exes. One.
But he has a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Notches on the bedpost.
I think it's funny to think about how I don't think I've given any girl an orgasm except for you.
That's right, bitches.
Like,
I
all
the 100 of you out there that have seen my husband's a dick. Just remember.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll teach our boys a little better. But
I know.
I just never really cared. I mean, it sounds very callous, but it's like, I feel like guys are usually really wrapped up in themselves.
For a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. I don't know. Weird. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, I feel like a lot of my, a bulk of my sexual excursions were really like either like alcohol infused and or like socially pressured. Like, it was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, you're supposed to just like get drunk and hook up with chicks in college. I mean, mostly in college. I don't know. How many people did you have sex with in high school?
I mean, I don't have like a list, but probably 20.
What?
I mean,
20?
15.
15?
Is that a lot?
Yes. In high school? I mean,
maybe
it's 10. How many years? Okay, you just
it's
cut the number.
4 years.
We have sex for all 4 years, every year?
I was a sleazy.
Jesus,
man. I didn't have a good childhood. I'm blaming on that.
Well, I only had sex with two people.
Yeah, no, I definitely lost my V card in like 9th grade.
Oh yeah, same.
And then it was like a few people every year, maybe 3 to 5 every year.
3 to 5 every year.
So that works out to be,
yeah, that's a lot.
12 to 20, and then in college I kind of went on like celibate for a while. And then I had a couple boyfriends. In college, I didn't really sleep around very much. I only probably made 10 over the 4 years. But like half were boyfriends.
Yeah. I was the opposite. I like had freshman year, and then I didn't again until senior year. I was kind of scarred. 15's young.
I was 14, I think. But I grew up fast. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to grow up fast sometimes. I don't know. Yeah, I was looking for attention. The wrong kind.
Yeah, I think it's way easier for girls, though. Like, girls can kind of just do whatever they want. Girls
yeah.
kind of set the...
Well, I mean, everyone called me a slut, so that was kind of... It's like, do people call other people sluts now? Yeah. Like, because I feel like if you want to be sexually active, like, that shouldn't be frowned upon. Like, that's a personal choice of that person, right? So, like, I feel like... Now, girls probably aren't called sluts and whores and all that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like the girl.
She's really sexually active or she's not. Like,
yeah.
Not as judgmental these days.
I think I made this point similar, like a year or so ago when I was like talking about, like, I think it's kind of like what's the name of the girl that has, like, the really famous girl that used to work for Barstool that has like her own show.
Oh yeah.
It's Call Her Daddy's name of the show.
Yeah, I forget her name. Alex.
Alex. I feel like there was this Barstool came to prominence, there's like this like rise of like women's, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Because they're like sleeping around more, gambling. Like they're doing all the stuff that guys do, and yeah. they'll realize like it's not that fucking cool. Like you do it and you're like, oh yeah. Like
it's not that cool. It's also not that bad. Like it's such a double standard. Like
yeah.
all the guys that I slept with were also sleeping with me. They weren't called whores and sluts.
Yeah.
They were like high-fived for being sexually active. But if I was sexually active, then I was called a slut. It's yeah. like, I was just having fun. Like,
yeah.
That was fun for me back then. It wouldn't be fun for me now. But like, if for whatever reason you're doing it, it's like, that's a personal choice. So why is a woman judged, but a man is like applauded?
Yeah.
I feel like those days are definitely over. Sex positive now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is a lot of value. And that's weird because me, I feel like, yeah, you have a really big chip on your shoulder. And I feel like you have a lot of reasons. Like, you have a lot of, like, yeah, this makes sense on why you would have a big chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I think I have a huge chip on my shoulder too. And I, like, kind of think about it these times. And I'm like, I don't know why, like, I don't know why I have this.
Oh, I would have a chip. I mean, he were, like, a star athlete. Like, you're, like, yeah. better than, like, everyone else at a sport. And you're also smarter than everyone else.
Well, I thank you.
I would definitely have a chip on my shoulder if that was me.
Why would you have a chip? That doesn't make – why is that – why would you have a chip on your shoulder?
Because I feel like you get treated – when you're younger and, like, kind of, like, developing your personality, you get treated a different way because you're so – you're kind of put on a pedestal, like, in your town. Like, people used to ask you for your autograph, you know?
Yeah, but why would that put a chip on your shoulder? That doesn't make any sense. Like,
you don't think?
Yeah, if you were put on a pedestal and it's like you say you had it easy, why would that – I think it would do the opposite.
Putting a chip on your shoulder means, like, being, like, really kind of confident, like
– No, that's not what a chip on your shoulder
What does it mean?
Chip on your shoulder means, like, you think, like, the world's kind of out to get you, or you think, like, oh it's like –
Is that what that means?
It's like, yeah, you have, like – not the world's out to get you, but it means, like, you have, like – you're like grinding an axe. Like you always like have something to kind of prove. I mean, it's interesting. I've never heard.
I did not know that's what that meant.
Yeah.
I thought a chip on your shoulder means like you don't give a shit about anyone. Like no one can get to you.
Yeah. Chip on your shoulder. To have a chip on one shoulder is to hold a grudge or grievance that readily provokes disputation. So it means like you're.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like it was so confusing the way you were explaining that, which makes sense now that you don't know what it means.
Well, I guess I do have a chip. I guess I do have
yeah,
a chip.
No, you do. But I do too. And it's like, the thing is like, that's back to my point, is like, you have a lot of reasons. Like, you look at your back, your history, you're like, oh, there's a lot of reasons on why you'd have a chip on your shoulder. But for me, it's like, I don't know, like, who put that there? Like,
maybe it's like a nature
thing.
There's
no reason. No, I think it is. But it's like, it's just kind of interesting to me thinking about, like, when you raise kids, like, you're always like, nature and nurture. And to me, like, raising kids really makes me question my childhood a lot. I mean, like, oh, maybe, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just interesting to, like, see the other side of it as a parent. But, yeah, it's like, I have a huge chip on my shoulder, but, like, everyone believed that. You know, I had a huge opportunity. I made the most of what I was given, very good genetics. Like, there's, like, no reason for me to think that, like, I, like, always convinced myself that, like, people were, like, out to get me. Like, they were, like, they don't think I can do this. Like they think that I'm not good enough, or they think that... No one really thought that. Like, no one came up to me and said that, like, explicitly. But I always, like, manufactured, like, this, like,
maybe
they.
It's, like, epigenetics and it's coming from, like, a past relative.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
Lived before
I don't know.
You. Maybe your grandfather felt like that or something.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's I always kind of find that fascinating. It's, like, I was surrounded by love and, like, support and, like, a lot of people believed in me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was very fortunate in that regard.
I know. Next lifetime, I'm going to be born in a situation like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
What else should we talk about? Anything else?
How's motherhood going? Times three.
It's awesome.
You're crushing it this time around. And that you've always done well, but you're really crushing it this time.
Thank you. I feel... I'll share something that might not resonate with a lot of people, but I, throughout my whole entire pregnancy, I did a ton of self-work this pregnancy. Like every single week, I spent at least an hour with someone who did, she was like a psychologist, but also she did energy work, which is something that I personally am really into. And it literally changed my life. And I think that it changed my perspective and like how I operate, like, in my own head throughout the day, like my own energy, like how I manage my own energy and my own emotions and who I let into my energy and like all these things that are a little like woo woo. So it's okay if you don't, you're not into it. But I think that that has allowed me to be like a lot more present in my life. And I feel like that has like yielded me with a lot less anxiety. And I think there's other reasons why I don't have as much anxiety this time. But I think that it has been probably the biggest contribution to it. So I really, I'm so thankful for her and like the work that we did together, because I think it's allowed me to like heal a lot. And I think that having a daughter has also like allowed me to kind of like heal and like look at motherhood from like a different perspective. Like, obviously, like I love my kids regardless of gender, and it doesn't matter like what gender I had, like I would have loved my kids the same no matter what. But having a daughter, the energy like is just different. So like I feel like my energy versus or my energy is impacted by her being a part of the family so much that it's really changed like my experience in motherhood. So I feel like I've been able to be like a lot more present. I feel like I've been able to be a lot more like calm and less like controlling. Like I get really uncomfortable when I'm not in control of things, and like in some ways like I still you know what I mean, but in a lot of ways I feel like I've done a really good job with it, you know. And I don't know, I'm just so filled with gratitude every single day. It's really hard to not be like happy every day, because I'm just so grateful that like this is like a dream come true. Like I feel like I married someone who's like a great dad, and thanks. I don't want to cry with my postpartum hormones, but like I did it. Like the most, I can't talk about it. But yeah, it's been really great. I'm so happy. Literally. It's like a dream come true. And I hope that everyone gets to feel like the way I feel. Yeah. With your own family.
Yeah, totally. And they can, right? Because, I mean, you're in control of it.
You know? Yeah. I mean, for me personally, it just took a lot of work. Like, it took a lot of work. And it was all, like, stuff I had to do with myself. Like, yeah. Like,
it's all you can control.
Yeah. Like, you have to clean up your side of the street. And it's not like I was, like, doing anything. Like, I wasn't, like, a bad mom before or anything. Like, I was just really in my head, really hard on myself. I constantly felt like I was failing at something. Like, I'm not working hard enough, or I'm not growing fast enough, or I'm not present enough with my kids, or I'm not prepared enough at home, or I'm not, like, just all these expectations of myself that I just kept falling short of. And I just have this enormous pressure that I put on myself to achieve really high levels of like satisfactory work, but like I determine what's satisfactory, and like I can't live up to my own expectations within myself. Like that's been like something I've always struggled with, which is a huge tool when you're trying to build a business from nothing. Mm-hmm. Or you're trying to make a certain amount of money or whatever, because you can be really driven and work really hard. However, there comes to a point of no return. And in some areas of your life, like motherhood or a relationship or like being present and not stressed all the time, it doesn't serve you as much. So like you have to know when to turn it on, turn it off, or funnel it in certain areas. And that's what I worked on the most. And it's really been awesome. Like I don't think my kids like would notice a difference. Like I'm probably to them like the same mom I've always been, but it's like on the inside I feel different. And like my partner I think notices that I'm not as anxious, or what, I don't know, what do you notice?
Yeah, I don't know, it's like it is entirely different. I think the pregnancy was kind of similar, like you don't like being pregnant, like
threat, like, divorce, I'm like, we need to go to therapy and figure out how we're going to separate, because I literally cannot be married to you anymore. Like, that is the extreme that I feel when I am pregnant. So people, like, give me shit online for not liking pregnancy. Like, you wouldn't like it either if you literally believe you married the wrong person when you're pregnant, because the hormones are so outrageous.
In your 10th year of marriage.
Like, how am I going to separate from Max? Like, I have two kids. I'm also pregnant. Like, I literally contemplate what it would look like to, like, not be in this relationship anymore, because I am so disgusted. I don't know. Turned off. Next. I don't even know what the word is. But, like, after I deliver, like, I don't feel like that anymore. But I've felt like that every single pregnancy. Beware. I hope that doesn't happen to anyone else. But, like, dude, it is so weird. And it has to be hormones or some biological response we have unknowingly to, like, being with child. I don't even know. I can't explain it. But every pregnancy, it's like immediately, as soon as the morning sickness hits, it's like a switch flips and I'm like, get the fuck away from me, you know. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm used to it by now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that it's you. Yeah, I mean, I think you went through a period where it's like, you know, these things that made you, the things that got you to a certain point of your life are defunct, irrelevant, and they're not going to get you to the next point of your life.
Yeah.
Or not even looking at things in terms of, like, points, but just in terms of, like, just staying here, right? Like, because maybe, like, the going somewhere is another analogy. Let's just say you wanted to keep it flat, right? And it's like, you need to be comfortable and okay with just being flat, right? Because once you're content and happy with what you have, you don't want for anything else, that's really what happiness is. Like, it's, you know, not, it's wanting what you have, not having what you want, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's been, like, really great. I mean, I've never seen you take time off and not feel guilty about it. And
yeah, like, I like, stop work. Well, I have been. I mean, I'm only 3 months postpartum. But, like, I, like, stop work at, like, 5:30, and I really stop at 5:30. Like, that is really unlike me.
Yeah.
In the past. Like, usually I'd work until, like, 6. But then, like, if I had a couple seconds, I would, like, jump back on, and I would definitely be on at bedtime. Like, after the kids were asleep, I would get back on and do content or something, customer service or, like, whatever needed my attention or I was working on that got interrupted when I wrapped up before dinner. And, like, yeah, I would just work so much. And even when I wasn't working, I was thinking about work.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm still really motivated to, like, get to the next level. So, like, don't get it twisted. But just a better balance, I think, and just feeling, like, okay with it. Like, it's okay. You know who actually inspired me a little bit in this area is Eminem, because he's the best rapper alive in the world, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions. And the way he works in the studio is he goes in, works until lunchtime, leaves for an hour, comes back, works until 5, leaves for the day. That's how he records an album. And when I heard that, I was like, he can be the best rapper in the world and do that. Like, I can reach all of my goals and do that. Like, I need to be, like, efficient, productive when I am working. And then I need to know when to cut it off. And, like, that is when I cut it off. Like, I don't think I have an addictive personality, but I am, I guess, a bit of a workaholic. If, like, I had to put myself in any category, it'd probably be that one, because I can just work and work and work and work. And I, like, won't get sick of it or, like, fatigue. Like, if I get fatigued, I'll just work on something else. It's like, it's just never ending. So it's been really nice and refreshing to find that balance and be, like, a little bit more, like, present. And our oldest is 8 now, and it's like, you realize, like, how fast they grow up. It's like,
yeah,
in 8 more years, like, he'll be, like, prepping for college. It's like, wow, like, that's, we've already gone 8 years, and now, like, another, like, I only have that much time left, you know. It's like, and that kind of puts it in perspective to the whole thing. I don't know. I think it's a combination of things, but I feel like I'm living a dream, because it's literally everything that I ever wanted. I always dreamed of marrying someone like you. And I always dreamed of having 3 kids, 2 boys and a little girl. And I'm just, like, so thankful. Like, now I finally have it. And it's just like, it's like the best feeling.
Yeah.
So thanks for creating it with me.
You're welcome. Pleasure's all mine.
Cool.
And I think now's a good time to really kind of get the point across here that, I mean, it needs to be said. And I think we need some people to get weigh in on this.
Oh.
But Paisley has serious big sister vibes.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. She's got big sissy vibes. I can feel it.
Bree's like, really? I can't take another pregnancy working for Nancy. Please don't do this to me.
Well, you do a surrogate. Like a surrogate.
Bree's gonna be our surrogate. You want to make $100,000?
Is that how much they get paid?
Yeah, $100,000 around in California. I don't know. Maybe it's different other places, yeah, but
cost of living.
Yeah, $100,000.
Yeah, she's the cutest.
She's awesome. So yeah, cute. So cool. All right, let's wrap it up here. We're at an hour mark. Thanks for joining me for another potty. I love you so much.
I love you, babe.
And we'll see you next time.